welcome to another episode of the Jewish Wedding Podcast. I am solo today. Everybody seems to be busy doing other work or shooting, which is always good. Today we're bringing on a singer that we've actually seen a lot of recently. His name is Morty Weinstein. I think he's part of the 613 a cappella group, but has also gone to venture into weddings and has led many weddings that we've shot and always does an excellent job. Just want to kind of hear what he has to say, how he started, and just hear about his new single that he came out with, which I think is great, and just kind of talk to him about what he does. So let's bring him on. Hey, Morty, how are you?
Hey, Amir. What's going on?
We're talking with Morty Weinstein, someone who I know we have seen a lot at weddings recently, and I've seen you obviously in other areas too. But more recently, we've actually spoken to two people recently on our podcast that really spoke highly of you and really like your work, and we love your work, so we just thought to have you on the podcast.
Well, it's a nice combination of things you got. You got vendors, you got clients, you got all sorts of stuff, and it's always a pleasure, you know?
Yeah, that's the point. So, Morty, take us a little bit through kind of your history. Where'd you grow up? How'd you get into music? And then we'll kind of go from there.
Sure. So, I grew up in Brooklyn. At the time when a lot of Ashkenaz Jews were still living in Brooklyn, before it became fully, I guess, Sephardi, or at least in the area of Brooklyn where I was. I went to Flatbush for elementary school and high school. And in high school, on a dare, I tried out for choir. At the time, Flatbush Choir was a big thing, and I got in, and that was cool. And then I got into chamber choir, which is like a smaller subset of the choir. And I kind of just fell really, really, really deeply into it. I loved singing. I loved vocal harmony, choir music, a cappella. And so I did that for a couple of years in high school. And then I went to YU for college, joined an a cappella group that was not the Maccabees, joined a group called Tizmoret based in Queens College, even though I didn't go there, and got into arranging work for them and some music theory. I ended up studying music in college, started a different group at YU, different a cappella group called the Y Studs. And it's been like a one thing leads to another since that time. And every opportunity has, thank God, led to other opportunities. And now I'm very, very grateful to be able to say that I'm a full-time musician in whatever way that means in 2023.
Right. So let's talk about that. What are you involved in at the moment?
So during the week, the most stable thing is I teach music at the Mariah School in Englewood. So I teach elementary school music and I run a small choir there. And then on the weekends, and actually now a lot of weeknights as well, I'm singing weddings, bar and bat mitzvahs, leading davening, going to different communities on Shabbos, and doing a bunch of recording work and production, especially vocal production, arranging work for different people, background choir vocals out of the studio, part of which is pictured behind me.
Awesome. When I looked you up, the first thing that kind of popped up was a group called 613. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so 613 is an a cappella group, a Jewish a cappella group that I am a part of. I've been a member of the group for just over 11 years, it just occurred to me. So that's a long time. It's a group that I actually grew up listening to. When I was in high school and I was first getting into singing, I once saw 613 perform at a Hanukkah event, I think, and they sang a Hanukkah parody of Hey Ya by Outkast. And I thought it was the coolest and funniest thing. And I was like, cool, one day I want to do that. And after a whole long process, I eventually found my way into the group. So we go around the world performing, doing shows, different events, and we put out parody videos as well as a whole bunch of original music. And thank God we've got a nice little following. It's a ton of fun, and it's really, really gratifying, both internally as a, you know, as a singing a cappella group. We get to really work with some of the best singers that I've gotten to work with, kind of creating a unified blended sound. And also traveling to different communities, some of which have a lot of exposure to Judaism and some of them don't really. And so we've been able to bring kind of an energy and an excitement, I guess, about Jewish heritage and history and culture to places really all around the world.
You know, thinking about a cappella versus some of the work that you're doing now, I know you released a single and, you know, working in the studio. Talk a little bit about, you know, the differences there. What are some aspects you like? What are some aspects that you like more about one versus the other?
Yeah. So we actually talk about it a lot in the group because a lot of the guys now are involved, not just in a cappella, but in some sort of instrumental music, whether they're singing weddings or playing weddings or working in studios. So I think for me, the thing that's really exciting and unique about working in 613 is vocal harmony. You know, I think a lot of non-Jewish wedding bands tend to have a lot of singers up in front, but Jewish wedding bands usually, for the most part, have one featured vocalist, which means that, you know, sometimes the guys playing guitar or keyboard will sing, but for the most part, it's really one singer. And for me, one of the most exciting things about music has always been vocal harmony and kind of the blend that you can create with just voices and just the power of the human voice. So 613 really, really fills that place for me. I'll call it the emotional aspect of singing in harmony with just the voices, which are, I feel, a really intrinsic part of the human body, right? It's the instrument that is most closely related to the person themselves, right? Rather than an external right. instrument that you're playing. So that part is unique to 613, as opposed to, you know, there is certainly a different kind of energy that's involved when you're playing with a band and it's loud and it's all dance music and you kind of just go, go, go. That's a totally different vibe, and it's a very different kind of excitement and different kind of energy. So you got those two divergent aspects of performance and aspects of music making, and it's pretty cool. I get to do both, and I feel very lucky to do that.
One of the guests that we spoke to actually mentioned that you sang at their wedding, and they actually said that it was so inspirational that some people came over to them and told them that they were just really moved, and almost moved to the point where I think they were a little bit on the less religious side and were thinking mm-hmm. about becoming a little bit more religious. I mean, when you hear that, what do you think about?
That's amazing. What I think is that somehow I've always felt this way. I've always felt that music is able to sort of transcend all sorts of different boundaries, and it kind of touches people's souls in a way that nothing else really can. And if music has been the vehicle for that for some people, then that's incredible. And it's the best compliment I could possibly get.
How did you sort of foray into the wedding industry doing music?
It's funny. I remember having a conversation with someone a number of years ago saying, I don't really want to sing weddings. It's not really my thing. I wouldn't want to do that. And fast forward, and now I would say it's at least 60% of the performances I do over the course of the year are weddings now. A friend of mine who runs a wedding band called Sheer Soul, David Ross, he called me up once and said, hey, he usually sings most of the weddings for his band. And he said, hey, I'm looking to think about maybe opening it up and having some other singers that I feature at different weddings. Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, why not? Like, sounds like fun. I generally will not shy away from opportunities to sing. And I said, yeah, it sounds great. Sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do it. And I went to a rehearsal and I learned kind of a little bit of the flow of how weddings work, and they're drastically different from a cappella performances. And I did that one. And I had a great time. It was a ton of fun, totally different type of energy getting to perform with instruments. And then I didn't sing another wedding for another year and a half or so. And it was really sporadic at the time. And it was something that I wanted to do because I enjoyed it. And I discovered that it was different from what I had expected. And it was exciting and it was fun and it was high energy and it was meaningful in a different kind of way. You know, it wasn't the vocal harmony, emotional side of things, but it was providing music, which, you know, talked about the power that music has, providing music for people on a day that is, for most people, you know, top 2-3 days of the rest of their lives. So it did carry a pretty heavy emotional significance, and I loved it. So I was looking for more opportunities, and I would basically just go around asking anybody who I knew in the wedding business, hey, can you put me on a wedding? Can I sing something? Can I come up and sing a couple of songs? Can I sing a chuppah? Can I sing a this? Can I sing a that? And slowly but surely over the years, it started to pick up a little bit. And, you know, I think now I'm at a place where I think I'm still at a place where it's mostly word of mouth, where people are talking to other people and saying, hey, like, if you're looking for a singer, I know this guy, his name is Morty. But there seems to be, thankfully, in the past couple of years, a little bit more chatter about it, which is great. And it's the reason, one of the reasons why I wanted to release a single, and kind of that process of creating more word of mouth. But it's, again, it's really been one opportunity kind of leading to another opportunity, and trying to just follow that and keep pushing that trajectory.
What do you think were any of the things that kind of stood out where you were like, well, this is really different than what I've ever done before? I know when we do weddings, obviously, you know, we've done it for many years now, but when we first started, there were definitely, I mean, it's an uncontrolled event, right? So things just happen and you just have to roll with it. So some of the things that we kind of think about on a regular basis is just how to pivot, how to try to, like, you know, if someone's in your shot, you move to the next side, you go to, you know, things aren't running on time. You just have to, like, kind of go with the flow. So what are some of the things when you first started out that you kind of encountered where you were like, whoa, okay, this is different?
So I think the first thing that always stood out to me was the chuppah. I always, I felt a type of excited nervousness when I would sing a chuppah that I didn't really experience anywhere else. I think because of the gravity of the moment, right? And that was the sort of thing where it really occurs to you just how important this moment is. And I think we think about this a lot, probably as vendors, right? We think like, okay, I have a, you know, I have a job on this date and the next date and the, you know, a week after or 2 weeks after. But for the people who are our clients, they're entrusting us with the most special day for them. And kind of remembering that for us, it's not just another job. It's really, really powerful for them. So the chuppah especially is like, is that place where our couples generally have the most customization over their song choices and the particular melodies that they want for different moments of the chuppah. And to be able to deliver that, it felt so personalized and so customized that I thought that was a really, really cool experience to be able to really work with people and say, like, they want this, and to be able to provide exactly that and kind of tease out with them what was going to be the most meaningful for them in a given situation. So I would say that was maybe the first thing that really stood out to me at a wedding. But beyond that, I would say the thing that kind of keeps me most excited from each wedding to the next is the dancing. I mean, there is a certain energy, and you experience this and you get to capture it. There's a certain energy that is present on a dance floor at a Jewish wedding that is, I mean, you can't quantify it. You can't qualify it. It's frenetic. It's unbridled. It's powerful. It's spiritual. It's emotional. It's energetic. It's crazy. And we get to sort of conduct the rise and fall of that energy. And there's something unbelievable about being part of that process.
No, absolutely. I mean, we talk about this all the time, that the band and specifically the person singing makes the wedding. You know, we've been to some weddings where, you know, whatever it was, the person that was there, maybe it wasn't his best night, or maybe, mm-hmm. you know, the band wasn't really on par or in sync. But when you get a really good band, a really good singer, and someone who just really feels it, right, and really puts the energy into it, it's like nothing else. I mean, we definitely see it in, you know, in the footage that we have, and all the people that are just dancing and going crazy. And you know, I don't think people really realize how much actually goes into what you guys do, right?
For sure.
You know, you have to, I think at some, and you could talk about this a little bit, but my sense is that at some points, you know, you gauge the crowd, you gauge what's going on. I've definitely seen singers and bands sort of go with the crowd. So if the crowd is exactly. into it, they get even more into it.
Right.
And if the crowd is not so into it, then they'll bring up their game even more just to get the crowd a little bit more excited and into it. So, I'm curious from your
energy
perspective.
Energy and performance is such a give and take. So, you know, and it's not just a performance. You're riding the wave of what's going on the dance floor. And so, like you said, the ability to kind of roll with changes is such a crucial piece of it, right? Which is why, you know, for me, one of the most important things about it is making sure I'm teamed up with a band leader that I know, that I trust, that we sort of have like a really good give and take with, because we're both trying to read what's going on and make decisions about that based on that for what's going to come next and how we're going to either, you know, ride whatever energy into the like another level up somehow, or to kind of transition it based on what's going on. You're right. I mean, the music is so part of how the energy gets translated on the dance floor. And then that gets fed right back to us, and we give it, we take it, and it just rolls through the night.
How much do you interact with the bride and groom, you know, before the wedding, during the wedding, maybe even after the wedding? Talk about that interaction a little bit.
So it varies a little bit. When the bride and groom are the ones who reach out to me individually, and then they kind of pair me with a band, then in those cases, I interact a lot with them leading up to the wedding. You know, we work very closely together to make sure that they often consult with me about their song choices, or they'll just send them to me and they'll say, like, this is what we really want. Let us know if there are any glaring issues or things that you would change. And we have a conversation kind of leading up to the wedding about what sort of vibe they're looking for on the dance floor. They want English music, if they want straight Jewish music the whole way through, if they, you know, all sorts of different specifics. But in scenarios where the band will contact me, and the bride and groom have just spoken with the band, then I interact a little bit less with the bride and groom. I talk to them at the wedding because it's really important for me. The personalized aspect of this whole industry is, I think, the most important part about it, because that's how you get that energy. Like if you don't know the people that you're celebrating, then it's a little weird. Like it's hard to really put forth the best thing for them and the best thing for their guests unless you know who they are, what makes them tick, what they're looking for. So I do like to talk to them, certainly at the wedding, as much as I can. I try not to, you know, push people out of the way. They have friends and family that are there, but it really depends. I would say mostly times where they contact me directly, that's when I have the most interaction with them. And I like to. I mean, I think it helps a ton.
Has anything stood out when you have left a wedding, said goodbye to the bride and groom, anything they've said or anything?
They recently, it's been, I think people have felt a little bit more of a powerful attachment to a lot of the music at weddings kind of since the war in Israel has started. So people have like a really visceral connection to the songs that are being sung. And especially, you know, at chuppahs now, we're singing a lot of, you know, making a mishaberach for soldiers in Israel, or singing different things like that, singing Tehillim. And people are responding very, I guess, in a really raw emotional way. So a lot of people are coming over afterwards and kind of talking about how powerful that balancing act between the joy and the sadness is. And it really is. I mean, that's something that's present in every chuppah where we're singing Meshkachech at the end. It's just kind of taken on a little bit more poignancy now. But people are, I think, responding a lot to that these days. You know, I think for me, it doesn't need to be anything profound. It's when I say, you know, goodnight and mazel tov to a couple at the end of the night, if they just say like, thank you so much. If they notice it, if they felt like the music did something for their wedding, then I'm thrilled.
Is there anything that you're involved in now with regards to the war, to Israel?
So a lot of musical projects. 613 worked together with two other Jewish a cappella groups, the Maccabees and the Y-Studs. We put out a recording and a video of us singing Avinu Shebaa Shamayim, so the prayer for the welfare of the state of Israel. And this is actually the first time that all three groups have worked together on anything. I mean, we're competitors. We all happen to be friends, but it's the first time we've worked on a track together. So that was really powerful and really special. Just a bunch of different recordings here and there. I recorded Hatikvah for a different project for singers around the world, you know, working on a couple of different recordings of Israeli songs, just things that feel a certain type of power and connection to what's going on. You know, beyond that, I just got back today from a performance with 613 on Sunday in North Carolina and yesterday in Naples for two different, drastically different events, but both had a pretty strong Israel-facing component. So it's kind of, as the opportunities and the situations present themselves, I'm trying to just allow myself to be involved in as many as I physically am capable of. Anybody who's looking for production of something, an arrangement of something, vocals for something, I'm trying to just do it all as much as I can. It's, for me, it's the way that I feel I can contribute aside from financially, you know.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the single that you put out. Is that the first single that you've put out? Or you've put out other music as well?
That is the first single I've put out. It's the first original song that I've put out. Working on more, but it is the first one. I've posted a whole bunch of covers of things, a lot of footage from weddings and stuff like that. But this is the first original Jewish song I wrote and recorded and released as kind of my own name.
And what was that process like? How did that start?
That was cool. It's actually a song that I originally had written for 613, and it appears on a 613 album, but it's just a very, very different vibe. It's fully vocal, obviously. And there's certain, not constraints, but there are certain properties, I guess, of an a cappella song that are not necessarily going to be present in a fully instrumental song and a fully produced song in the studio. So I had the idea for the song, and I wanted to kind of bear it out in a little bit more of a fully fleshed out way. Spoke to a whole bunch of people about finding a producer who would fit the type of track. Ended up sitting down with a few different people, and I worked with Vlad, who's a drummer from Chroma. So he does a lot of production, and we worked on it. We bounced ideas off each other. We spoke for a really long time about it. We actually started the process of making the song before COVID, and then things just obviously took a turn, and things were put on hold, and all sorts of other stuff came up, and it was finally time. We finally went in and recorded the vocals, and I'm thrilled with how it came out.
Going through that process, were you able to kind of think back to what you've gone through in your a cappella days, or is it completely two separate types of skills and modalities?
It's a good question. It's so different to me. the a cappella stuff, especially in 613, usually someone else is arranging the harmonies. So I'll get an arrangement and I hear what my part is and I kind of just record my part and send it off to somebody to edit and to mix. And usually, especially in 613, the director of the group, whose name is Mike Boxer, he's usually in charge of producing the whole thing. And he's in touch with the engineers and he decides kind of the direction of the song. Here, I had really full control over it, which was exciting, daunting, a little nerve-wracking, but really cool because it meant that I got to really see the whole process through start to finish and kind of mold exactly what I wanted it to be, which was exciting. And it was really, really cool because I really got to watch it take shape. It meant a lot of conversations, kind of teasing out exactly what style we were looking for and how to make it more like that style and less like a different style and still commercially palatable and, you know, make sense in the world of Jewish music altogether. So that was cool. I had never really considered a lot of that stuff before having those conversations with Vlad. And it was incredibly insightful and helpful. And hopefully it's going to be really helpful moving forward.
And you had to hire musicians, or these are people you knew?
So yeah, generally the producer hires musicians. It happens to be a lot of the guys that I knew, especially the horn players. One of the guys who arranged parts for the horn parts on the track is a guy I work with all the time. His name is Kai Sandoval. He plays trumpet. So we do a lot of jobs together. So it's funny to see kind of some of the guys who are on the track. And I've had the opportunity to play the song with a few of them, which is also really gratifying to kind of do it live. But some of the guys, I don't know who they were. They're guys that Vlad works with on a regular basis. So he brought them in to play guitar parts, to play bass parts, etc.
Thinking back to, you know, your growing up and being involved in music, were there any specific like mentors or anybody you kind of listened to a lot or kind of thought that you really kind of wanted to emulate that person?
Yeah, in a lot of different ways. I grew up listening to all sorts of stuff. My parents always had music playing in the house, but it was a lot of DeVakis and then a lot of, I guess, the Beatles, a whole bunch of Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel. My parents are big folk music people, but when I started developing my own taste in music, I worked with a choir director in high school and in college. His name is Daniel Henkin, and a lot of people refer to him as the godfather of Jewish a cappella. So he's been a mentor for a long time. And as I directed choirs also in the recent past, so he's been a mentor and a colleague, as well as the director of 613, Mike Boxer, has been a tremendous mentor for me since I've joined the group in terms of all sorts of things from musicality and arranging to performance and vocal technique. And then there are the artists and singers that I listen to. Overall, I would say in terms of singers or styles that I most try to emulate or most would like to try to emulate, I feel like Stevie Wonder is like my Rebbe. Stevie Wonder, performance-wise.
That's going to be the quote on this podcast.
Stevie Wonder is my Rebbe. He gives me a psak halacha. Bruno Mars, you know, I think that sort of vibe of like that pop, funk, soul blend, which there's not a ton of in the Jewish music space. And that's the type of music that speaks to me the most. It has a certain like infectious energy. So between all of that, Jewish a cappella and folk music and soul and kind of all just blends in together. And here I am.
Well, that's great.
As bizarre as that is, yeah.
Are there other projects in the works?
There are always other projects in the works. There's I'm working on the next couple of original songs that I want to release. My goal is to have sort of a mini album or an EP out by the next summer wedding season. And, you know, throughout that process, I'll also have, God willing, a whole bunch of covers of things, just like little short snippets while arranging probably what's come up a lot recently during, especially for Sphera and for the 3 weeks. A lot of people will reach out and want to put out a cappella versions of songs. People reach out to me to do that, which is so much fun. So between all of that, this studio is kept busy, which is just wonderful.
That's great. That's great. Well, I definitely appreciate the time. Definitely.
My pleasure.
Every time we see you, we know it's going to be an energetic and emotional event,
Likewise.
Which is
really great. When I walk in, I see you walking around, I go, oh, we're in good hands. Everything's going to run smoothly and cleanly, and it's going to look fantastic after the fact. So
appreciate it. If people want to book you, how would they do that?
They can email me, morty.weinstein@gmail.com. They can, my phone number, which is on Instagram and all over the place. Instagram is great. Email, any sort of, I'm available. Any which way people want to get in touch with me, they can find me. I'm not hiding.
What's your Instagram?
Instagram is Morty Weinstein. Nice and straightforward. Awesome. Just my name.
And if there's somebody out there that wants to book 613 for anything, for any gigs, what's
yeah, so they can check out 613.com, S-I-X-1-3.com. They can even email me, morty@613.com, and we'd love to make it happen. We're booking up, which is wonderful. We're traveling all over the place.
That's great. All right, well, thanks so much for joining. Good luck and everything. I'm sure we'll see each other again.
Absolutely.
And let's meet again soon. We'll be in touch.
Sounds good, Amir.
Thanks. Take care.
You too.